We got breaking news. In a rare occurrence, a federal judge slams judicial activism.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We're back. Will Haynes is in studio with me. Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us. And my brother, Jordan Seculo, will be joining us from our D.C. headquarters and our studio there to go over some of the new work that the ACLJ is doing right now. They got some amazing stuff going on. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. That being said, you may have seen the headline, may have heard my little tease there. That's right. There's a federal judge out there. Well, there's at least one who's saying, I don't think we should be getting involved so much in this judicial activism, and so much so I'm going to put pen to paper and put it in one of my rulings, because this point we have a federal judge on Monday who denied a request by a Maine family planning provider. This was someone who said, hey, we provide abortions. We're not Planned Parenthood. We shouldn't be stripped of our federal fundings because we're not Planned Parenthood. And here they are. And of course, that judge stuck his neck out quite a bit.
That's right. So in this case, this is in the U.S. District Court for the District of Maine. This judge put an order down on a preliminary injunction that was requested by the Maine Family Planning Association. They wanted a preliminary injunction to stop the defunding of their work, their abortion business. And what this judge goes to show in denying that preliminary injunction, so effectively saying they are still defunded by the Big Beautiful Bill, he didn't just stop at saying, here's my rational basis for why I'm denying this preliminary injunction. He writes at length about why it is not the role of the judiciary to do this, including lines like this. Undoubtedly, most of the public that is outraged by Congress's defunding of, quote, prohibited entities will feel as though they do because they find the provision unwise, unfair, and illogical. In fact, much of plaintiffs' arguments turns on a public policy critique of the prohibited entities portion of the Big Beautiful Bill. However unwise the prohibition of Medicaid funding to providers best positioned to deliver Medicaid services to underserved rural populations, the judicial branch, despite much generated confusion on this basic point, does not serve as an omnibus super legislature to sit in final judgment as to which policy outcomes it prefers. That judgment rests with the people. We'll get to more of this, but basically throwing shade through this order at the judge in Maine, in Massachusetts, which granted, jumped through all these hoops to grant preliminary injunctions to not just Planned Parenthood of Massachusetts or the National Planned Parenthood Federation for America, but to all of Planned Parenthood members. This judge is saying, we're not a super legislature here. This isn't our job. And he also goes to show why this non-Planned Parenthood entity is not likely to succeed in this case on the merits. We'll get into all that when we come back, but it's so refreshing to read a federal judge in Maine writing these words against the colleagues in another district court in Massachusetts that is doing the very thing that he's calling out, acting as a super legislature.
Absolutely. Phone lines are open for you. I want to hear from you. We are also in the final days, just the final 5 days of our 35 years of Victory Drive. And we have had some breakthrough victories and a big breakthrough victory to report in our efforts to defund Planned Parenthood, as you heard, and abortion providers. So these are the big victories the ACLJ is always getting involved in. We've had that federal court in Maine agree with us, refusing to block the defunding of the abortion industry and slamming judicial activism in the courts. None of this happens without you. Those rogue judges need to be put in place, and sometimes get placed by their own other judges, which is nice to hear. But we can't do it. We can't submit all these incredible briefs and amicus briefs and all the things that we do here to make sure we're involved without your help. We are up to over 210 cases just in the last year defending life. That is just on the life topic, okay? That is just pro-life work. Now imagine the legal team that has to go in to manage 210 different legal instances, legal cases, if you will. You got to be a part of it right now. ACLJ.org. Have your gifts doubled as we wrap up this month as we're celebrating 35 years of victory. We'll be right back with your calls and comments coming up.
For 35 years, the ACLJ has fought and won for life, liberty, and religious freedom. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. We've stood on Capitol Hill and before the U.S. Supreme Court and traveled all the way to the United Nations, helping to shape laws and policies at the highest levels. Now we face new battles, from saving persecuted Christians to defending pro-life laws at the Supreme Court. But we can't do it without you. This month, every dollar you give is doubled through our 35 years of victory drive. Be part of this critical moment. Give now at aclj.org/win. That's aclj.org/win.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to have your voice heard on the air, we also see quite a few of you joining us today on YouTube and on Rumble. If you're on those platforms, there's always ways to interact. You can put in a comment, you can hit that thumbs up, and of course you can subscribe. All those are great things. One of the things I always ask you to do, if you don't have anything to say, let me know where you're watching from. I love to see that in the comments. Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us in the next segment, and then later on, again, my brother's going to be joining us from our D.C. studio to give you a big update of what's been happening at our Washington, D.C. headquarters. Of course, our media office is here in the Nashville, Tennessee area, and our D.C. headquarters is where, obviously, our political, legal, and government affairs offices exist. We have lawyers all over the country. We have this office and all over the country and all over the world. But, of course, that is where the legal headquarters is. Phone lines, again, are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. And we want to restate the topic at hand that we're discussing right now, at least, well, which is you finally kind of have a federal judge who says some nice things. Maybe says, hey, and by nice things, I mean say, hey, other judges, quit it.
Well, and Logan, this also points out why it's so important that the ACLJ engages these cases. This judge that denied this preliminary injunction request did so
directly,
but with some language that is very similar to the brief that we filed. Listen to this part. This is from our brief that we filed with the court in support of the administration and the government and the Big Beautiful Bill's provision. And we wrote, ordering Congress to spend money it has declined to appropriate would violate the separation of powers. The Appropriations Clause reserves power of the purse exclusively to Congress. Courts cannot compel Congress to spend money any more than Congress can compel courts to decide cases. The relief plaintiff seeks, an injunction forcing Congress to fund its operations, would transform federal judges into super legislators empowered to redirect public resources according to judicial rather than legislative priorities. I already read you that part where the judge said the judicial branch, despite much generated confusion on the basic point, does not serve as an omnibus super legislature to sit in final judgment as to which policy outcomes it prefers. But also, that entire point about the separation of powers. The judge writes, the Constitution gives the Congress of the United States the power of the purse. The very first enumerated legislative powers of Congress are the powers to raise and spend money. And this means that Congress, not the executive branch or the judicial branch, has the authority to determine how to spend or not spend the nation's dollars for the achievement of, among other things, the, quote, general welfare of the United States. So why do we file in these cases, even when the government has their own attorneys that are fighting this, when a plaintiff is suing the government? Obviously, we are not representing the government. The Department of Justice and the Council of HHS are.
Is there.
But when our attorneys, I've read you the words, those are powerful words that are echoed in this judge's opinion. Our attorneys are very good at this, and they know what to write and how to write and explain the law in such a clear-cut way that you start to see these things echoed in the opinions of the judges. We talked about last week where we filed in that case, in that appeal of that enormous judgment of over $500 million against President Trump. One of the concurrences from one of those justices directly quoted the ACLJ. That is because we hire the best of the best. They are savvy, smart attorneys that know how to write these briefs so that it gets the attention of these judges. When they read it, they know the power of it and the weight of it, and they know it's the law. And many times, that's why you see it reflected in their opinions.
Yeah, a lot of times reflected, as Will said, either word for word or like someone, you know, copying your homework, just like slightly altering it. You're like, oh, I wonder where they got that idea from. Obviously, it's from our ACLJ team. They have the tools and the talent to get stuff done. And it is incredible work that this team does, whether it's our legal work or our media work. I say that as someone who is obviously your broadcast partner here, someone that talks to you each and every day, tries to break down what a lot of this means, because we have incredible legal minds. And of course, we need to have people who can then take that and translate it. So I have people like Will. We have me. We have all the people joining us on our team. My brother, Jordan, who is a lawyer and also can talk to you and explain to you what's going on. Because sometimes you get stacks of papers, we'll get emails, and I'll have to call someone and say, tell me what this means. We want to make sure we're there for you to not only explain what's going on in the world, but also be there in a proactive and an active way. Of course, it's happening right now as President Trump is holding his 7th cabinet meeting of his 2nd term. We're looking at some of those images live right now in our studio. This is what's happening. You have a much more open group in terms of the White House. This is not something you saw very often during the Biden time. You have seen some of Trump imagery. I know there's like a giant Trump banner that was like rolled out in front of the labor building, and some people were giving that some grief. I think it's also because you had 4 years of a silent Biden administration who would want, the most they would want to do, or the worst thing possible scenario, was be to have him show up and start making speeches or talking to the press uncensored.
That's right. And once again, I want to get back to another point where this judge really called out these other judges. Remember that judge in Massachusetts jumped through all these hoops, Planned Parenthood forum shopped to try and find the best way in light of that Supreme Court decision.
Explain that forum shopping. It's just right, going around shopping, finding a judge that's going to be reasonable, right?
That's right. Going around trying to find the judge that will give you the maximum relief. And there was that opinion from the Supreme Court, which struck down these universal injunctions. Planned Parenthood got clever in the way that they presented to this judge, and the judge made a questionable decision and had to jump through so many hoops, at the same time saying that Planned Parenthood is not one entity for these purposes, but it is one entity for the purposes of granting an injunction. Very confusing acrobatics that the judge had to do to give them this big relief. Now, that didn't affect the Maine Family Planning Federation that is able to now seek their own relief and didn't get it. So they're still not getting funding, while Planned Parenthood currently is because of the preliminary injunction. But I want you to read this other part for this judge out of Maine and really directly taking shots at the Massachusetts judge, if you read it. And it says, the plaintiff's predicament is complicated by a longstanding cultural battle over the availability of abortion spanning nearly 50 years, it was considered a constitutional right. However, 3 years ago, the Supreme Court held that abortion is not a right protected by any constitutional provision, and as such, quote, the permissibility of abortion and the limitations upon it are to be resolved like most important questions in our democracy by citizens trying to persuade one another and then voting. That's from the Dobbs decision. Then this judge goes on to say, that is precisely the type of democratic exercise that produced the Big Beautiful Bill. It would be a special kind of judicial hubris to declare that the public interest has been undermined by the public, effectively saying that our democratic process, the very thing that we are told all the time by the left is in crisis, our democracy, that democratic process is what led to Congress getting elected, President Trump getting elected, and this bill getting passed. It is a, quote, special kind of judicial hubris to try and claim that there is a public interest that is being harmed by the public, because that's how our democracy works, our democratic republic. So he sees this very clearly. The democratic process worked. The remedy, if you don't like that, is to change the minds of your fellow people and how they vote, not to rush to the court and try to get policy decisions changed by the courts. This judge has it exactly right. I love the very much some of the flavor to this that you can see that was probably drawn from even the brief our attorneys wrote. It lines up very directly, and it makes me proud to be a part of the ACLJ and the legal team we have fighting here, but also that these judges are brave enough to call out other judges for a special kind of judicial hubris, because that's what we've been seeing for far too long.
People are saying, Will, that the U.S. needs to be listening to you. It says, USA, listen to Will.
There you go.
Pay
the
attention.
Whole country.
The whole country needs to be paying attention to you. I also see some people commenting right now about our work internationally. And I do want to say, as you support the work of the ACLJ during the 35 years of victory or whenever you do, you are also supporting our international work. Some people are asking about, can we get involved in places like South Korea, North Korea, and all those things? If you feel like you are called to give and you would like to see us expand into some of those places, let us know. I'd love to know where internationally you'd like to see the ACLJ get to work. Now, obviously, there are legal laws, there are rules, there's a lot of different barriers you got to go through. It's no simple journey. But we are always fighting for those overseas. We have the ECLJ, that's the European Center for Law and Justice. We've had different entities throughout the years when it's been needed throughout the world. We have the ACLJ Jerusalem, which obviously fights and supports Israel, but also gives you truly what's going on the ground there from an American perspective. And from their point of view, you get then an American perspective leaning in to what is happening in Israel. But maybe there's somewhere you'd like us to work on. I would love to expand our international work. It's my favorite things that we do here at the ACLJ, as though we obviously are for our safe borders, protected borders. Religious freedom should have no borders. And we want to make sure we can be able to protect it all over the world, whether that's in the Democratic Republic of Congo, whether that is in France, in Europe, in the UK, or wherever we can be. So go to ACLJ.org right now. Throw that in the comments. I really would appreciate it. We'll be back with more. And Mike Pompeo joining us next.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you. Life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
For 35 years, the ACLJ has fought and won for life, liberty, and religious freedom. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. We've stood on Capitol Hill and before the U.S. Supreme Court and traveled all the way to the United Nations, helping to shape laws and policies at the highest levels. Now we face new battles, from saving persecuted Christians to defending pro-life laws at the Supreme Court. But we can't do it without you. This month, every dollar you give is doubled through our 35 years of victory drive. Be part of this critical moment. Give now at aclj.org/win. That's aclj.org/win.
Welcome back to Secula. We are now joined by Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo, who has been joining us again for a number of years now and always an invaluable resource, someone that can provide you really an inside look into all of this and how this has all been happening. One of the things, Secretary Pompeo, we want to address is obviously the crime issue that President Trump clearly got some pushback over, but now we see a place like Washington, D.C., as we were talking to my 13-year-old son about this, who was very well aware of sort of the crime issues that happened in some of these major cities, and specifically has been in Washington, D.C. There are areas that have always been rough. But when you have this, a week, 10 days plus now, with no significant crime, no murders that have happened, it's a pretty wild place to be in. It's something that almost feels like it should be unthinkable, sadly, in 2025, that this could actually get done. But it also shows you that we have somewhat the resources. We have people like the National Guard. We have the brave soldiers who are ready to take on this crisis and maybe get stuff done. Maybe this has been what we've needed all along.
Two things. First, this reminds me of the border where President Biden said, well, there's nothing you can do. You can't stop this. Frankly, there were Republicans that said the same thing. Right. There's nothing you can do. It's inevitable. I hear the same story on crime. No, it is what it is. That's just fundamentally not true. And President Trump has now demonstrated that with the right resources, the right focus, the right objectives, you can actually provide public safety so that people can go out and enjoy their communities in the biggest cities, the most wonderful places in America. Second, when I was Secretary of State, I remember what the State Department was like. I was there, drove past it, and it's probably been a year and a half, 2 years ago now, and there were homeless encampments all around your Department of State where every foreign dignitary came. And it felt and looked unsafe. Not for me. I had a team with me. But, for people who were trying to get there and come see government officials, it looked and felt unsafe. And now, boy, it just cleaned up materially. And this matters. It matters to ordinary citizens. It matters, frankly, to the least amongst us who are often most impacted by crime. Think about our schools. Think about the fact that they're trying to go to after-school clubs and things like that. Now we have a president who's saying, we're just not going to tolerate this in the United States of America. It doesn't have to be. And this is a wonderfully good thing for the United States.
Mr. Secretary, Politico put out an article with this headline: Trump is leaning in on crime. Democrats need a better response and fast. You posted on X, the left-wing attacks on President Trump for tackling crime are getting increasingly unhinged. These progressive mayors should consider why their policies have unleashed historic levels of crime and focus on correcting course, not bashing the president. I'm kind of at a loss for how you can be a leader of a city and choose the partisan politics game over wanting what's best for your citizens. But it just seems like no matter what, the party has decided en masse, we will push back and reject anything that the president of the United States tries to put forward, including keeping their cities safe.
The good news is the citizens of America, the people who live in these cities, they get it. So while progressive politicians may not, and I'm always careful. I try not to provide political advice to the left.
Sure.
I'm not well situated to do that. But common sense would tell you that public safety, so that your kids can go walk to school and not worry that they're going to get mugged, so that you and your friends can go out and have a glass of wine at a bar, or you can go out with your husband and have dinner, and you can feel like, I can go to my car, I can park in the parking garage and get in, and I don't have to worry. That's probably fantastic politics, but I know for sure that it's really good policy. It'll lead to economic prosperity. Restaurants, local establishments will be more successful. All good things flow from this. And so when I hear these progressives, it does feel like Trump derangement syndrome or something akin to that, where you have to attack the president of the United States because he's your political enemy. And that is a mistake, both politically, I think, and practically, because ordinary folks get that this matters to them and improves their lives.
I think when you visit those cities, you visit the cities that have those safety and those protocols in place, you can feel it. You can feel it on the streets. Specifically, you spend a lot of time in a lot of the major cities across America, as a lot of us do. I'll be in New York very soon. You go to San Francisco, you go to these places that at one point were just, again, these are our greatest cities, if you will, in that case, where this is where people want to go to. These are our tourist destinations. This is what people think of America. They think of Washington, D.C., New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco, obviously then you can fill in the rest of the map, but those are probably the top five that people think of, or Florida maybe. But you want those areas not only to feel safe, but of course we want to protect human rights, human dignity. So there was a big uproar even with what we're going to do, except with his homeless encampments and the things that have happened. But from all I could see from President Trump's, what he's been doing, it's not been, hey, we're just going to kick him out. Like I've seen a lot in California where they just say, hey, get him off of Hollywood Boulevard. Get him off of Hollywood Boulevard, move him a mile away where the tourists don't see it. It's been, no, let's get these people help. Let's get them in housing. Let's get them into shelters, places they can be taken care of. And hopefully, somewhat rehabbed back into society in a way that actually has a plan. And the fact that that is being attacked is really where you said the derangement syndrome goes too far, because the Christian side of us that does go, of course, we need to protect the homeless, people that need help. But protecting them doesn't just mean run wild in your city and see what happens.
That's right. And remember, some of those same people, the people who are struggling, they might have an addiction problem, they may not have a place to stay, they're often the victims of this violent crime.
Right.
And so, yes, it is a wonderful thing to say, no, we're going to try to provide good, sound solutions. We're going to try to take care of you, whether it's medical or psychological, whatever it is you need. But we're not going to tolerate the risk of violence on our streets. I've gone to cities all across the world. You can see those that have decided, no, we're going to make these safe, wonderful places where people can go and visit and want to be. And you can see places like, frankly, like London and Paris, where large parts of the city have just been given up. That is really bad for the people that live in those areas, both from a safety perspective and from a commercial perspective. And the United States should lead the way. We do have these remarkable places where people from all across the world want to come spend their money and spend their time to see the greatness of our nation. We can't have them say, I think I won't go to Chicago because they've got a murder rate that exceeds anything anywhere in the world. We're better than that. And President Trump's trying to get us there.
We all think about those things, even as American travelers. My son is a big UFC fan, and he's been begging for me to take him to a fight. And he's like, all right, so my choices are Las Vegas or Chicago. And I'm like, I'm not quite sure. I don't know which one. One is only like a few hours from here, by the way, like 90 minutes up the road on an airplane would be to Chicago. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe Vegas is a safer option. That is a wild time to be.
Take them to Wichita, my hometown.
There you go. Wichita. There are different kind of fights going on that you can see there. Well, thank you, Secretary Pompeo. I appreciate you joining us today. It's always enlightening to hear from you. And I know that our listenership and our viewership, they love to chime in and chat, because it's something that you have an insider's perspective, and I really appreciate it. And that's why when we celebrate 35 years of the ACLJ, and again, that's the branded ACLJ. I always say that, because that is 35 years of the American Center for Law and Justice. That is not 35 years of the work we've been doing. We've been doing work far beyond 35 years, but that's just since it's been branded the American Center for Law and Justice. And that's why when we have these opportunities, and they don't come up very often, I saw someone saying, Logan, I love the work you're doing, but you're talking too much about fundraising. We have these very important months where donations can be doubled. And by the way, if you give throughout the year, I wouldn't have to do this much. So you know what? Maybe there's a new way we can look at this. I know a lot of you are new, and a lot of you have never donated to anything, much less to us. And you say, why would I donate to a television show, a radio show, even a law firm? Doesn't make any sense. We're there for you when you need it for free when it comes to legal help, as long as it's within our scope of the work we do here. And of course, this show is broadcast available without any kind of paywall or behind any kind of things you have to pay for or sign up for. You can watch it for free anywhere in the whole world. And that is because people like you support the work of the ACLJ, which supports all of this. If you hear an advertisement, that's not going to us. It's going to your network. Give a donation right now at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with the second half hour.
For 35 years, the ACLJ has fought and won for life, liberty, and religious freedom. Now we face new battles, from saving persecuted Christians to defending pro-life laws at the Supreme Court. But we can't do it without you. This month, every dollar you give is doubled through our 35 years of victory drive. Be part of this critical moment. Give now at aclj.org/win. That's aclj.org/win.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour of the broadcast coming up. My brother, Jordan Seculo, is going to be joining us in the next segment live from our Washington, D.C. headquarters. He's got some big announcements going on with sort of a whole new look at the way the ACLJ is going to be working in Washington, D.C. And I look forward to him sharing that vision with all of you as we celebrate these 35 years of victory. There are a lot of people calling in, and I want to hear from you as well. We do a few lines open at 1-800-684-3110. I usually take as many of those calls and hold them till the last segment because I always like to think that the last voice should be yours. So give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. The last words. Not necessarily the last voice. You always should have the last words. I do have to say I want to back up for Secretary Pompeo that was on, and he made a reference to the professional fighting being in Wichita, Kansas. I thought that was just some random pull, but what I found out quickly from Will and my son is that there is an annual professional fighting event that happens in Wichita, Kansas. So you know what? Maybe that's where we'll make it out to. Maybe a little different than the crowd going into Vegas or into Chicago. However, I look forward to those days as well. Let's go to Rhonda, who's calling in North Carolina online too. Rhonda, North Carolina, go ahead. Come on, raise up.
Hi, sirs. How are you?
Doing well.
Doing well, Rhonda. How are you?
I'm great. I just wanted to thank you for the work that you're doing. I've been an avid listener for several years. I've even contributed to the fund. But I wanted to thank your dad. I had called maybe a month ago, and the screener wouldn't let me get through. I guess she thought that I was going to be antagonistic.
Oh. Okay.
But
well, you've made it on, so you know what? Prove them wrong.
Yes, your dad was talking about the policies before President Trump got elected. Even with the Ukraine war, he was saying that Ukraine was not as innocent as they claimed. He spoke about Adam Schiff, Hillary Clinton,
sure, yeah,
the involvement of Rice.
All those top topics, yep.
All of these topics, and no one really listened to him. Now it's the topic, and everybody's just regurgitating it over and over again when he was the first one that brought it to the light.
Well, Rhonda, I will make sure he knows that and hears this. I'm sure he's listening right now. And, of course, he's on the show, you know, every week or so. He'll pop in and do a segment here or there. But I will make sure that that gets told to him because it's true. The work of the ACLJ, and I'm glad you brought that up, we don't try to be reactionary. We always try to make sure we are on top of what's going on right now. So if it's a hot topic that's happening, sure, we're going to cover the news. We're going to tell you what's going on today. That's part of doing a broadcast in 2025. But when it comes to the issues we get involved in, we are looking to the future continually. We're looking at what's going to happen 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. That's why when I bring up a topic and you go, hey, you're kind of going against maybe what President Trump is saying. A lot of that is not me going against President Trump. It's going, okay, I've lived enough life to see what a president can do and how that then can affect the next administration, and then that can affect us as people who fight for religious freedom, the fight for the freedom of speech. Because when the pendulum swings, you want to make sure that you are still protected and that you haven't let a president or anyone who has, you know, interest in their hearts for right this moment make decisions that could have lasting negative impacts. You got to make sure that your voice is being heard. And Rhonda, when you say that all those topics were topics that we talked about years ago and now they're the number one topics, I am not surprised because that is how we do it here. And sometimes that comes with a little bit of a detriment. That is why when we push for fundraising, a lot of times I say you got to be looking towards that next generation and what we do here, because we are thinking towards the future and not just reacting. You don't hear us just going on and saying, oh, Cracker Barrel. You don't hear that, Will.
Well, and to Rhonda's point as well, we were the organization that represented a host of Tea Party groups when the mainstream media and the Obama administration were calling it a conspiracy theory, and that there wasn't a smidgen of corruption. Remember, the president of the United States said that. And we fought. And we took on those cases, so much so that the IRS got slapped down by a federal judge and had to enter into a consent agreement admitting everything they did wrong, violating the rights of Tea Party groups. That was a long time ago.
Absolutely.
But that same corruption still exists, and we have to keep fighting.
And that is why my brother's going to be joining us next to talk about sort of the revamp, the relaunch of what's going on in Washington, D.C., why this new next generation is going to lead that way, and how you can get involved. So make sure you stay tuned. We're going to have him in just a minute. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110.
For 35 years, the ACLJ has fought and won for life, liberty, and religious freedom. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. We've stood on Capitol Hill and before the U.S. Supreme Court and traveled all the way to the United Nations, helping to shape laws and policies at the highest levels. Now we face new battles, from saving persecuted Christians to defending pro-life laws at the Supreme Court. But we can't do it without you. This month, every dollar you give is doubled through our 35 years of victory drive. Be part of this critical moment. Give now at aclj.org/win. That's aclj.org/win.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you. In the next segment, I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. That's at 1-800-684-3110. We actually have a full bank of calls, full bank of lines open. So right now, if you want to get on the air, this is a perfect time to call. My brother, Jordan Seculo, is joining us live from Washington, D.C. with a big update of what's going on at our D.C. headquarters. We are expanding, we are changing, revamping, relaunching, however you want to say it, because there is so much going on in Washington, D.C., and the next generation is bringing it forward.
We are relaunching our government affairs department here in Washington, D.C. for the entire ACLJ nationally, bringing on a new director of government affairs who has got serious experience, Logan, both in law and on Capitol Hill. He's actually a Regent Law grad, graduated well before my time, so he's got serious experience on the Hill. He's been a chief of staff to four different members of Congress with a career that spanned over 20 years on Capitol Hill. So you can understand the level of contacts he's had, that he does have. His name, Mark Kelly, is someone we've actually worked with very closely at the ACLJ with our government affairs teams in the past and with folks like Than Bennett and others. And he has been brought on to really rebuild a brand new kind of ACLJ government affairs 3.0 to work with both our legal team here, our policy team here, building out his own team here as we expand in Washington, D.C., to, again, increase those relationships with members of Congress, bring them back onto the ACLJ briefs, make sure we're going through legislation and making sure it's the right legislation, the right terminology. Of course, we've been doing a lot of this work, but we've been doing it without a government affairs department because most of our previous government affairs department is in the Trump administration right now. That's not a bad thing, by the way. Then you have a lot of contacts in the administration. But what we wanted to make sure with this is that we wanted to bring someone who had the same level of experience in government affairs, Logan, as someone who, if we brought on a senior attorney, not someone who is starting at, you know, kind of starting at A, but has really had a full career already on Capitol Hill four times by being a chief of staff to four different members of Congress in times when Republicans were in control of Congress, in times when Democrats were in control of Congress, through different presidents, through different styles of members of Congress that he's worked with. So I think, again, you'll likely meet him on this broadcast at some point. It's just his, I think, day two here in Washington. So we came up to kind of welcome him with the team that's based here, the legal team. But we're really excited about re-engaging that effort, bringing more members over, of course, to the ACLJ office. And as there's new members of Congress, constantly making sure that we're reaching out to their offices so that their staff know that we are a resource for them that they can trust, and they can trust and they can go to leaders in Congress and go to the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, say, you know, is this the group that we should really trust with legal analysis or analysis of proposed legislation, even a phrase in proposed legislation or signing on to a brief? And so we've got the top leaders who will say, of course, absolutely, go with the ACLJ. But there's new members, especially in the House, coming, you know, every 2 years. So you've got to stay on that. You've got meetings and legislative meetings going on throughout the week here in Washington, even when Congress isn't in session. And so having someone who is not just an expert in the policy, not just an expert in our issues at the ACLJ, but is an expert in how Capitol Hill works. And that is a kind of expertise you only get after spending 20 plus years really dedicating your life's work to working with those members of Congress and getting legislation passed, knowing what it takes to get things done. And so we're really excited, as you can tell, about this next step for the ACLJ. And of course, resources here, Logan. One, we were able to set the hiring level differently. So instead of looking at kind of someone younger that we would train into the ACLJ, we said, let's start by spending real time, and we did about a year and a half, on finding someone who's got just as much experience, like I said, as someone who is a top litigator at the ACLJ. Let's bring them on and then let them kind of mentor their own team. Now, the size of that team is going to be dictated by the support of our ACLJ donors. So, again, donating to the ACLJ this week while you can match your donation, Logan, that's critical because we know that that team can continue to grow, whether it's through ACLJ or ACLJ Action. We now have this fully functioning government affairs operation backed in action and dedicated to government affairs. We want that to grow. We want that to expand our reach in Washington, D.C., but also in state capitals across the country. We're only able to do that with resources, Logan. We have to have the resources of our supporters and our donors. And I can't think of a better way or another reason to donate. I mean, I just gave you one. We are launching a brand new department that, again, is a department that we've had before, but we're launching it in a new way with someone that has serious experience. And I really want that team to be able to grow, and that team grows with your financial support.
Not only bringing people experience, I think it's a different time. It's a different age. You have a different group of senators, a different group of congressmen and congresswomen who are coming in who may not be as familiar. You know, a lot of the people who are very familiar with the work of the ACLJ have started to get older, have started to age out. It's just how the nature of this goes when you've had 35 plus years of work on Capitol Hill. So to bring in, you said, not just fresh faces, which I think is always going to be needed, but also people that can talk and can explain and can really show what the ACLJ does on this sort of level. It's going to be very helpful as you have a different administration also in office, and how each time that there is a shift, it's obviously a shift in how you can get things done in Washington, D.C., and right now is one of those times we have to be able to jump on it.
Yeah, that's right. And so having that team, remember, you know, we've been doing it kind of with, I've been doing some of the government affairs, some of our other top attorneys have been doing some of the government affairs, but we really wanted, because we wanted to take the time, even though that was more work for us, and we wanted to spend the time to get the right person, like you said, Logan, to really kind of do something different with this department, to have that senior leadership, someone who can pick up the phone and reach any member of Congress, but also know, not just the member, because a lot of times we can do that, it's the key staff person, on a committee, on like the Judiciary Committee. It's the key legal advisor to make, and knowing who those individuals are, having that personal relationship already is so key. Knowing about the different congressional meetings going on and being someone that's going to be welcome into those. So again, we are really excited. It is, first of all, you're always dealing with kind of a new generation of legislators in Washington, D.C., but you're also dealing with, again, very thin margins. We're of course, coming up on midterm election year, so this was all done strategically. We knew we wanted to take our time, but we also knew when we wanted to be able to get someone in place to start building the team, and so we're really excited to announce this to everybody, not because we haven't done government affairs before, not because you haven't heard about what ACLJ Action does as our C4, but because of who we're bringing in and the level and the quality of government affairs director that we are bringing in to represent the ACLJ in the halls of Congress directly. It's very exciting to me because there's a lot of opportunities we're getting. You know, we look down our phone, we get lots of opportunities every day. One attorney, two attorneys can't do it. We've got other obligations. But now to have that dedicated team back that will grow is going to be great for the ACLJ, great for our supporters, great on the issues that you care about. And again, we can expand that team. It's kind of an endless amount of expansion. There's endless amount of work and issues to engage in Washington, D.C. And what I want to start hearing more from people, Logan, would be great too, is on the legislative side, other issues that maybe they don't hear us talking about as much, that maybe they want us to get involved in more, or maybe we just need to talk about it more. But I certainly think that from our new government affairs director, there will also be new expertise in issues in the past that you may not have heard us discuss as much. Even if we were doing it kind of behind the scenes, we will do it more publicly and let your voice be heard more publicly as well. I'm talking some of those financial issues, economic issues, budgetary issues, to really get down in that as, again, they kind of are dominating the news. And, of course, spending and immigration. So anything that's moving in Washington, D.C. You know, we've got our executive branch side, our legal side. It's kind of the three branches of government. The ACLJ has our three branches of as well. And to launch this new government affairs team with someone with this kind of senior level experience, it's something we've never really gotten to do, Logan. So it's really cool to bring someone in who has been the leader of so many different congressional offices.
That's right. We'll have him on later on, I'm sure, throughout the year. Now we're looking for new voices, like I've told you, all as many of you have suggested. I've even had people email me, hey, what about me? And some of them, look, by the way, I've looked at a lot of you who have said, hey, I have some experience in this. It is nice to have someone there now in Washington, D.C., who's not just a broadcast voice, by the way. I see a lot of people saying they miss the days of having some of the government affairs team on. This is going to be a little bit, as Jordan said, a revamp of that. It does help when you have an administration in power who is willing to work with you a lot more than was during the Biden years. Even during the Obama years was different than the Biden years. I think that's what we got to remember, too, is it was a very different country even just a decade ago. So now we are fighting very different battles. I asked you for where you want us to work in terms of international work. Jordan's now asked, what topics would you like us to get involved in that maybe you haven't heard us talk about? Put those in the comments as well, or you can give us a call. We do have phone lines open for you right now. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110 as we wrap up our final 5 days of 35 years of victory. Then you have to hear about me saying it again until Christmas, okay? So do it right now. Make your donation if you can. Again, we've done hundreds of cases just this last year. We're going to do even more with your help and get involved in that new government affairs department.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
For 35 years, the ACLJ has fought and won for life, liberty, and religious freedom. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. We've stood on Capitol Hill and before the U.S. Supreme Court and traveled all the way to the United Nations, helping to shape laws and policies at the highest levels. Now we face new battles, from saving persecuted Christians to defending pro-life laws at the Supreme Court. But we can't do it without you. This month, every dollar you give is doubled through our 35 years of victory drive. Be part of this critical moment. Give now at aclj.org/win. That's aclj.org/win.
Welcome back to Secular. We do have full mic lines open. I don't know what happened today. I don't know if you decided, you know what, Logan, I don't want to call you. I'm bored with you.
It's probably my fault. I read too much from an opinion.
It was a lot.
But it was good words.
You enjoy, I barely spoke on the
show.
It was
a great opinion.
I don't know.
I really enjoyed it.
My opinion was...
that I spoke too much.
That it was too much of an opinion.
Too much of an... I wish you had less of an opinion.
Yeah, it's like a New Yorker article.
Right.
Like TLDR, man. Yeah. It's too much. You got to put it through ChatGPT.
You never read them when I send them to you.
Never. Never. Yeah. That or some documentary series. Like it's 8 episodes.
No, I sent
everyone
you one
dies.
Documentary... And it was a couple hours long.
Apparently.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Never critically
watched. Still
acclaimed.
Still on my queue.
Won't watch
after
it.
After decades. I don't know if they still have queues. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Again, you heard from Jordan. These are the kind of things we're working on here. When you think about what the work that Jordan and I both do and Will and everyone here in this group, we all are taking on different facets of the ACLJ as we've been growing and evolving and moving over the last few years. We have tried to see where our audience is. So many of you, just on YouTube, that's 517,000. 517,000 people to subscribe, millions to watch each week. I would assume that most of you who've just joined us on this YouTube journey over the last couple of years had never heard of us before, had never seen us before in these 35 years, who maybe don't understand the legacy of the ACLJ. Maybe you don't care about the legacy. Maybe you're just here for the entertainment, and that's okay. But we're having to really think about the way that we talk to our supporters, because this is essentially, if you can think about it, crowdfunded, listener supported, viewer supported broadcast media, user listener supported legal work, government affairs work. Like I said, if you're watching on YouTube, you may be getting an ad. You have no idea how little money that is that actually ends up at the ACLJ. If you have an ad and you're listening on a terrestrial radio station, or you're watching it on Salem News Channel, or maybe you're watching it on, or you're listening to it on Sirius XM, when we go to commercial break, unless you hear it being a commercial for the ACLJ, none of that ad revenue, by the way, there's no revenue in that one, none of that ad revenue is going to us. That's going to your local station. And we do that, by the way. We make those specific deals to where we have control of the airtime while we're on. So no one, even the network that you're listening to, I mean, sure, they could decide not to carry us anymore, but they don't decide what we talk about. The only people that are deciding what we talk about is a few of us that are sitting in this room right here. That doesn't happen for most mainstream news, mainstream media. It is not controlled. It's controlled by overlords and by people who are wanting their point of view and their perspective out there. We say... Even in our meetings yesterday, we talked about the burning of the flag situation. Before, we said we may make a lot of people mad with our views. That our view is that maybe that alone, desecrating the flag, it's a bad thing. We all agree that it is a disturbing and gross thing that I think is terrible. But should it be illegal, or should we fight for free speech? And we heard from Marines that called in and said we got to fight for free speech at all costs. You can't have that kind of point of view and be on traditional, even conservative talk radio. Even conservative media, because they go, oh, you disagree? You disagree with what the president has to say? Oh, well, then I'm not sure if you're allowed on conservative talk. Oh, you're disagreeing, or you're agreeing with what President Trump said? Oh, you're definitely not allowed on liberal, you know, shows or liberal media outlets. But we don't have to play those games, because people like you support the work. And I've only got 5 minutes left in this show today. And I'm not going to give you a 5-minute lecture. But if you've never supported and you've been watching this show for years, please consider it. We have a huge group of new people who just are not used to the idea of donating and financially supporting what we do here. So we have seen record-breaking numbers in terms of the amount of people that are ingesting our content each and every day. But we have also seen a big turnover in people that no longer or never have given. Because as 35 years have gone, if you were 55 when we started this and you were one of those donors, there's a good chance you are no longer donating anymore. Just Father Time is undefeated. But you can support the work of the ACLJ right now by going to aclj.org, be a part of the new crop of champions, the new crop of donors, be a part of that new government affairs office. Because we are carrying that flag, continuing on. And your donations are doubled as we celebrate 35 years of victory, but only through the end of the month. And then we give you a little bit of breather, talk about the ACLJ work, sure. We don't have these opportunities all year round. We only have opportunities a few months a year. You won't have this another opportunity again until closer to Christmas, and we know that it's going to get busy. So right now, especially when this weekend is a holiday weekend and it ends on a Sunday, that's very difficult for us in the fundraising world. So do it right now while you're thinking of it. I want to go ahead and take a couple phone calls before we wrap up this show. Let's go to Irene, who's calling on line three, who is watching on one of our newer homes, the Salem News Channel, which is where we're available again live 12 to 1 p.m. with a great lineup of other hosts. But again, we are there because you are supporting this show. Thank you, Irene, for supporting. You're on the air.
All right. I wanted to just tell you I've been watching you for years, and you've been doing a wonderful job. I've been watching since your dad had it, okay?
Yes, of course. Thank you, Irene. I appreciate that. I mean, obviously, this all started with my dad and my mom together, and me and my brother, we were little kids, and we've continued that going. And of course, things have evolved. The show has evolved. People have changed. I certainly have always leaned towards bringing more the broadcast voice of this ACLJ, because I think that maybe my lack of lawyering, well, gives me a bit of a easier way to explain what's going on. And people have will as well be able to break down these complicated things that we have been involved in our entire lives. You know, I was once on, I'm not sure I'm allowed to say this, but I was once on a jury that was not, I didn't get picked. So, but they said, because they knew who I was and the work of the ACLJ, they go, we may want you on this jury because you know more about the law than probably anyone that's sitting in here that's not a lawyer.
Comfort on Rumble actually asked, did I start working by stuffing envelopes as a kid for ACLJ as well? I mean, pretty close. We've known each other since we were 2 years old.
Yeah.
And my first jobs were helping out with things with the ACLJ, stuffing envelopes, logging tape of old interviews in a spreadsheet.
Where are those tapes?
Right. I mean, I think we have them, actually. But, I mean, yes, I've been around this for a long time as well and grew up around this organization. So
yeah, exactly. We've been at this for our entire lives, and that's why it's immensely important. We hope for multiple generations to come. I don't know if it'll be my kids. I don't know if it'll be Will's kids. You know, they get to make that decision on what they get to do with their lives. But you know what? We're going to foster this next generation. I'm already excited to see that, by the way. I'm looking at some of these old faces in there, but I'm like, you know, some of these guys have been with me for 10, 15, 20 years. But now I'm seeing a new crop of people that are coming up that were born like in 2002. And I'm like, this is a very different time. We're living in a different age, and we are bringing up a new level of supporters and a new level of incredible talent. I want to continue on, take one more phone call. Hey, we only got about 30 seconds. So William in New York. I thought William, because if you will, I would take this call. Go ahead.
Thank you. I've concluded that the best way to try to tackle the housing crisis is not only construction, though freedom to build is important, but also to do so in areas that will promote responsibility. Excellent examples being Square One Villages in Eugene, Oregon, and Community First Village in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, William, I'm not sorry, you broke up a little bit. It's specifically what you're saying, but I think you are right that there's a lot that can be done when it comes to the homeless situation and where we can plant new housing developments and things like that maybe you're not thinking. We got to think outside the box. Maybe that's something you want us to get involved in, by the way. And I would love to, by the way, as someone who certainly supports doing what we can for our homeless brothers and sisters. Let's figure out ways for the ACLJ to get involved in that. You don't want to just be known as these uptight conservatives who, you know, only care about money and do all those things. No, no, no. At the end of the day, we're a Christian organization, and you got to be respectful, responsible with that care. Go to aclj.org. Support the work right now if you can. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For 35 years, the ACLJ has fought and won for life, liberty, and religious freedom. Now we face new battles, from saving persecuted Christians to defending pro-life laws at the Supreme Court. But we can't do it without you. This month, every dollar you give is doubled through our 35 years of victory drive. Be part of this critical moment. Give now at aclj.org/win. That's aclj.org/win.